I would like to again express my very sincere appreciation for your inviting me here. I look forward to the time that we will spend together and studying God's Word together, but I want to thank you for inviting me to come to do that. My wife is here with me today, and Mary Lou, she's sitting right here. And if you haven't met her, please meet her. She's the better three quarters of this union, and I'm glad she's here with us today. There's a number of you that I know from other places and other times, but I appreciate getting to see all of you. Looking forward to meeting and knowing the rest of you, and I hope that we'll have a good week this week. Want to continue our study this morning about digital technology. And when I was asked to present these lessons, I started doing some digging and studying and preparing and so forth. And I really honestly, when I first thought about this, I thought, well, I might be able to scratch one lesson out of this. I don't know. But I wound up with three. And I guess it's four. Because tonight, we're going to specifically talk about something that the elders asked me to specifically talk about, was social media. So we'll be talking about that tonight. Tomorrow night, we will be talking about pornography via, most importantly, the internet. So there will be some topics that are, I think, needed. Topics that are maybe not that easy to talk about, but things that we ought to talk about from the perspective of God's Word and how we must look at our own lives and our own hearts. We mentioned earlier the Isaiah passage, chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. And I want to emphasize that again about God's way. We will be encouraging each of us all this week to follow God's way. There's a way that we think is right, but it ends up in destruction. God's way is the right way. And whatever our problems are, God's way can help us to be what He would want us to be. So if you are in despair, if you are discouraged, if you are in sin and you feel the shame and the guilt, then you need to come to God's way. Come to Him while there's yet time. Well, we began this morning talking about digital technology, and addiction. And I hope you've already been thinking about that and thinking about how you're going to start doing the mental gymnastics and the practical work to really examine your own life before God. And as we think about this digital technology idea, you know, addiction can be deadly. You see on the news any number of times someone that has had a fatal accident. And the reason or the cause for that accident, someone was texting. It's probably not the right thing to do, but when you're on I'm on 72 going back and forth, Rogersville, etc. Lots. And I'm passed by cars time and time again, and I pass cars time and time again, and you take a glance, and they're driving, and they're looking at their cell, and they're texting. And I want to blow my horn, but they just keep on. You know, it doesn't change anything. It makes me feel better that I blow at them. But I'm thinking of things like this, and maybe sometimes we're not thinking about this. My wife, I'm expecting some text from the elders or some gospel meeting or something that I'm involved with, a personal study, and I'm driving and my phone, it goes off, and I want to look at it, and my wife, put that down. I'll read it to you, kind of thing. And it's So we all have to guard against that. It's so easy for us to think that we're the exception. Well, I can drive a car down a four-lane highway at 70 miles an hour and check my email. Not a problem. I can do that. I'm ambidextrous, amphibious, and all of that, right? I can do it. Well, these people thought so too. So having to look, that compulsion, you got to know, can get you killed. Can digital addiction affect you spiritually? I think you know the answer to that, right? It can affect us spiritually. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart never again be interrupted by the ringing of a cell phone. Now, I'm not promoting the preacher's outfit there, but the thoughts, certainly. Many years ago, when cell phones were still relatively new, if you had a cell phone, that was a minority, you know, that would have a cell phone. One Sunday evening, I'm getting ready to preach, and one of our deacons and his wife was sitting real close up front, and her phone went off, and her ringtone was Jingle Bells. And it was, you know, it was jingle belling loudly, and man, she's grabbing her purse, and when it's in your purse, you can't hardly find it, right? And you keep, and she's digging, and she's getting redder, and it's jingle belling, you know, all, you know, and you've been there and done that, right? So now, if you have a cell, you're checking it, right? It's on silent, right? Or it's off? Yeah. Can it affect you spiritually? You know, I've been in any number of gospel meetings, and right in the middle of a very important point, somebody's phone rings. It does disrupt. It interrupts, you know, the train of thought sometimes. Technology itself, you know, just recently, I was getting ready to preach a sermon and I was getting all wound up, you know, and getting it going and getting ready to flash my first slide so it's, you know, bang, effect, you know, and so forth. And one of the deacons had boogered up my PowerPoint and it didn't work and I had to stop and fix and rewind and recalculate and go again. And what it done lost its, you know, done lost it. Can it affect you spiritually? Yes, it does. It can. I would suggest to us that sitting in worship services and looking at your digital devices can be spiritually hazardous. Now look, there are many of you that have digital devices. Our brother made the announcements that was kind of said he stepped on his toe. There he is. He's got his electronic device. Hold that baby up there. Hold that up there. See? Now, nothing wrong with that. That's a freedom. And I don't know what kind of whatever that is. But many of these are not just Bibles. Many of them, and you can get on the internet, you know. Kim over here said he Googled something during the sermon. He said, I found out some other point about your lesson, you know. Well, you know, ironically, I have mentioned things in sermons and stuff, and I see people go like, oh, like that. So they get their phone and they start. It's created some thought or question in their mind, and they're looking it up on the internet. All right, people come and they want to know the Wi-Fi code for the church. Okay, well I know. Yeah, I'm hoping for their. But I did have a little girl come up to me one time, and she said, "I just wanted you to know my daddy was playing a game during worship service." Under the bus, right there. Well, texting, checking our email, Facebook, etc. during worship services. Is that a problem? I'm sure that many of us have very important lives and things are going on. But we really do have to stop and think about, is it more important than God? Do I want to check my email and interrupt what I'm supposed to be doing here in spirit, in truth, in worshiping God? Is that text so very, very important? But there are some of you, I'm sure, that have ailing parents or someone sick you're attending to, and maybe you keep it on and you've got it there, and you get that text or you get that phone call and you've got to get up and you've got to attend to something. You know, I'm not harping about that. I'm not, you know, condemning you or judging you about that. But we certainly understand that we are too connected sometimes. There's a difference in the ox getting in the ditch and us kicking him in the ditch. Right? Oh, my ox is in the ditch. I guess I'll have to get up and go. Well, these things can be just too tempting. Now I'm going to make a, obviously, very personal opinion comment here about using a smartphone, iPad for our Bibles may be too tempting in the context of, if you are finding yourself during worship services taking your electronic device and you are Googling things, Harbin, and, you know, doing other things other than what you're supposed to be doing, and if you're out of control about that, I recommend you turn that off. Better yet, don't even bring the thing. And get you a real Bible. All right? This doesn't Google. This doesn't Google. Thank you, brother. And use that. That would certainly would be important. Why? Because our worship to God is to be in spirit and in truth. We want to practice the truth, right? We want to do what God says do, right? Yes. And part of that, and just as importantly, is that my mind is right. To be focused. I'll give you this. As a preacher, I struggle with worshiping from the heart many times. Because I'm thinking about my PowerPoint. I'm thinking about my sermon. I'm thinking about how I'm going to get you with a PowerPoint. You know? And then I find myself, I've thought about my sermon while I'm supposed to be singing. And I'm supposed to be eating the Lord's Supper. I know we can get distracted. And if you've got a device in your hand that's buzzing and beeping and you've got opportunity to look and ask and do, whatever you do, you follow me? Digital technology can be addictive and it can affect you spiritually. And it can affect you in your worship to God. So what do you do about that? Stop the madness. Stop it. Give it up. Quit it. In regards to worship. I'm not saying you can't have any more cell phones. You can't have any. That's not what I'm saying. But there's got to be some self-control and moderation for us. I already said that. I got ahead of myself. I said that too. Man. Oh, didn't say that. And pay attention. Paying attention. Our attention span. Devices have something to do with that, I think. But I have long said that television has been one of the greatest infective aspects of our lives in paying attention in worship services. I have long since noticed that brethren have anywhere about a 5 to 10 minute attention span. When you're watching shows, how many times do they have a commercial? Right. Guess what has set your attention clock in sermons and in Bible classes? The television. Every 5 to 10 minutes, you've got to move, you've got to turn, you've got to look, you've got to scratch, you've got to do something, you've got to go get a drink. Why is that? Because we're addicted to technological time setting. It's difficult to sit and listen without getting to do something else. We're fidgety because we become really multitaskers. We have to have two or three things going on at one time. And just sitting here and listening to a sermon bores you plumb out of your brain. We could talk about heaven and hell, but you're bored because you need something else to do. You got two hands available. Well, we are affected by our surroundings and our circumstances and our culture. Can digital addiction affect your family? Absolutely. Does this look like your family? When you're having family time? Having family time, what does everybody do? Get your digital device, get your earplugs, get your, what do you call them? Headphones. Whatever you call them. Your ears on. You got to put your ears on. And, you know, parenting is an awesome responsibility. However, when we think we're having quality time with family, many times this is how it happens. And if you say to your children, or maybe children, if you say to your parent, can we just talk? It's like, you have that, you know, remember the little Pez toy? Was it the little Pez toys or whatever it was, a little toy? You know, you had a little button on the bottom. It's a person standing up and you push the bottom like that and the string and it just go like that. This is the whole physicality of many young folks when you say, hey, let's just sit down and talk. They just like, you know, their facial expression just like just drops. It's like, we don't want to do that. You know what's easier to do? Here, you know, play a game. It's easier just to give in. And we're losing tremendous opportunities to talk and to be together. And I'm thinking that too much time may be spent not really communicating at all. We used to talk a lot about the communication gap between parent and child. I don't think there's a gap anymore. I don't think there's anything at all. It's like talking about the distance from here to the outside of space. It's infinity. In so many relationships, there is just no communication at all. None. So when we look at Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when you go to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you get the idea that everywhere they went, they were supposed to carry a cell phone. Wait a minute. In Deuteronomy 6, they were supposed to carry around a rock that had the Ten Commandments written on it. They were to carry around the Word of God, and they were to talk about it when you sit down, when you rise up, when you go here, when you go there. Read that Deuteronomy 6 passage again. So really we got the concept right. We carry it with us all the time, our cell phones. But we ought to be getting away from the electronic idea and as parents spending much more communicative conversation with our children and with our parents about real things, godly things, eternal things. Just a quick note. Quality versus quantity. I have learned this. Young people do not know the difference. What do young people need? Well, I spend a lot of quality time with my child. All 10 minutes. 10 minutes is all your kid needs? Yeah, they're 16 years old. Wow. Are you going to have a rude awakening? I'm convinced that 16-year-olds need more time than they do when they're 3 months old. Quality. Quantity. Which one? Yes. Absolutely. Both. Times 10 to the 12. And I didn't need my calculator. Husband's loving his wife means a lot more than taking her out to dinner. The old cliche. Sitting in a restaurant. Can you look around and can you tell which people are married and which people are not married? Can you? People that are married are not talking to each other. People that aren't married are texting someone else. Or maybe even the person they're with, sitting across from the table. Hey, young people sitting there looking at me like, you're weird, dude. But this is reality. This wife is certainly what? Let's read some body language here. Is she frustrated? Disappointed. Disappointed? Is she upset? What's this dude doing? Talking to who knows who. And what has he done? Evidently, he's not taking to the fish grill at Anderson there. It looks like to me that's some expensive restaurant deal there. Spent some big bucks there, right? What's he doing? He's winning some points with this woman, right? No. They're subtracting like the debt. Right? Wow. So husbands loving your wives, what does that mean? Maybe getting off the phone. Spending time with her. Ladies, if a wife doesn't pay attention to her husband, he might be tempted to find someone that will. Through the years, unfortunately, I've had to do lots of marriage counseling. I'm not a counselor, but it's been demanded because brothers and sisters in Christ can't behave themselves. And so you talk and talk and talk and talk to husbands and wives, and so many, many, many times, basic human understanding about needs of both men and women sexually, emotionally, is simply this. Everybody gets thirsty. And you will get a drink of water at some point in time. Proverbs chapter 5 talks about drink water from your own cistern. That's C-I-S. Not S-I-S. Right? The point being, male and females have needs. And if those needs are being fulfilled through electronic devices, then they are not being fulfilled physically and emotionally where it ought to be fulfilled. Can electronic addiction affect your family? Absolutely. Consider making this rule. When family is together at home or at grandma's, leave digital devices off. My three little grandsons, oldest is 7 and youngest is 2. My middle one, who is 5, already has a cell phone. Listen to me. That his mom and daddy have rejected and it's just to play games on. But guess what that little dude does all the time? He carries that little thing with him everywhere, and it also takes pictures. And he's always just like, and he's got these little things, and he carries, that's his deal. And he's got a few songs on it that he likes to play and turn the volume up, and he's 5. Next time he comes up to my house, I'm going to throw it away. You know what I'm saying? The reality of having family time is digital tools and technology okay and useful and oh yeah. But can it interfere? Yeah. When you're going to grandma, visit grandma. Talk to grandma. Get some sugar. Get some cookies. Participate in being there physically, literally, with grandma. Okay? That's important. Maybe we can learn something from digital addiction. Maybe we can learn something from this. You've seen this, right? What if we started using our Bibles like we use our cell phones? If you've not ever seen this, what if we carried it with it everywhere we went? What if we turned back to go get it if we forgot it? Check it for messages throughout the day. Used it in case of an emergency. Spend an hour or more using it each day. What if we could learn from our addiction to cell phones and we could transfer that to the Bible? That would be an awesome thing. So there is a sense in which addiction, you have a compulsive idea of constantly praying, constantly reading your Bible. That's a good addiction. We need to get that. But to our cell phones, to our computers, no. Here's some suggestions about digital addiction. What if, when you have the urge to look at your digital device, pray instead? You're gonna check your email. I caught myself last night. I was doing homework. I was doing research, you know, for this lesson. My wife and I were watching an old movie last night, and I'm sitting there, and I've got my cell phone next to my easy chair. And while we're watching the movie, I check my email, check Facebook, make sure nobody said anything bad about me. And I noticed Mary Lou and I said very few words to each other as we was watching and as I was checking. And I looked over a time or two and she was looking at her cell phone. In and of itself, anything wrong with that? No. It's a liberty. It's a freedom, right? Can it get out of hand? Can it be a problem? Well, I noticed that when you want to look at your device, rather than look at your device, you prayed. For others, thanking God for your blessings, for yourself. Or you picked up your Bible and you read it instead. How much better off would you be? How about the idea when traveling in the car? And I've been doing this a long time before I ever had a cell phone. I got to think, I'm on the road a lot. Meetings and goings and so forth and so on. I'm a music guy. I really like music. All sorts of genre. Except hip-hop, bebop, poop. I can't get into that stuff. But anyway, I like stuff. I like music. Okay. I got to thinking. It doesn't really kind of get me in the mood to go have a Bible study or go and preach in a gospel meeting and I'm listening to George Jones about drinking beer. Somehow or another, it just kind of has a disconnect. You know what I'm talking about? So I got to thinking, well, why am I listening to this and I'm going to worship the Lord or going to go study the Bible? Maybe I should listen to something. How about this? How about I pray instead of listening to the words, praying to God that I will say the right things, that I'll be able to teach the truth in love. How about if I pray about that? Or how about I've got some spiritual music, hymns and songs that I can plug in that's praising God and you know, encouraging me to what I'm fixing to go do. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not that we are doing wrong. We just make poor choices. So all I'm suggesting is with digital devices, they can be a useful tool, but they can be a hindrance and they can get us off track. So think about what you're listening to. Think about what you're doing. Is this profitable? Is this best for me? Is this getting me in the right frame of mind to accomplish what I want to accomplish? Do I need to say any more about that? Suppose this really happened. The guy was at an airport. He went into the restroom. He's sitting in a stall. And the dude next to him goes, "Hey man, what you doing?" He's thinking, "I'm using the bathroom, dude. Where are you going?" You ever had a conversation with a guy in another stall? That's weird. That is weird. And the guy says, "I'm going to Texas. When are you coming back?" And just before the guy answers, finally the other guy says, "Dude, I'm on the phone. I'm talking to somebody." Oh, that was embarrassing. I'm not saying I've ever done anything like that. But it might be a sign of an addiction if you've got to take your digital device to the bathroom with you. I might have more to say about that in regards to Monday night. Especially if you have young people and their bedroom door is shut. Red flags. Watch where you're going. You know, this is an actual sign. This is an actual sign. Pay attention while walking. Your Facebook status update can wait. Have you ever been looking at your phone walking? Did you nearly trip, fall, or fall into a water, what do you call them? Pool? That's embarrassing, right? Do you think you're addicted? Do you think addiction can be an issue or a problem? Yeah, it can be. We're not paying attention to what's going on. The other day, in Florence, parked in a space, one of those pull-in ones up to the curb, you know. My wife was shopping a little bit. She came out. She got in the car. I'm backing up. And I just noticed, I just gone back just a little bit, this woman, she has her cell phone, and she's walking down the middle of the road. All right? Right up behind my car, looking at her cell phone, and I never runned over her. She disappeared out of nowhere behind my car looking at her phone. And I stopped, and it scared me. My heart jumped. And she's just walking. She never knew I was in the universe. She never knew that I nearly runned over. I rode down the window. I said, "You better pay attention. You're going to get runned over." She says, "I have the right of way." Oh, I wanted to say a couple more things, but I just did not. I refrained from saying, "Yeah, you have a right to die too if you do something stupid." I'm sure what she was looking at was very important. Very important. Wow. Here's a Bible, paper and pencil, studying God's Word, God's way. Did you ever connect the dots to today's problems that we have with digital technology? Is maybe God has the answer to these things? What are you looking for in digital technology anyway? We have to work. We do things that are, and we have things that are essential or important. I'm afraid it goes deeper than that with most people. Well, the Bible would teach us one of the first things that we learned in the book of Isaiah: search for me while I can be found. What does that say? God is saying, you better seek after me, because there's going to come a time when you will not be able to find me. There are several things that I would like to say about that. Lord willing, that will be the last lesson of the series, looking at that text. But I will say this, there is in sin a point of no return. When you get on a cliff right at the edge, you can stand close and you can stand close and you can get closer and you can even hold one leg out, and if you can balance, you can stay right here and you're living very dangerously. But there is a point of no return. You can get so far, and when you drop and you start to drop and you say, I think I'll not do this. Too late. You say, Brother Slee, you mean it's too late? Can be too late to obey the gospel? Absolutely. It can be too late in that Jesus Christ comes. What time is it? Y'all tearing me up with not a clock here. Man, it's 12 o'clock high. The Lord's going to come at 12 o'clock. Now what? Well, I meant to obey the gospel last week. Too late. What does the text say? Seek me. Search for me. Come to me. While I can be found. There will come a time when there will be no more time. When the Lord comes. Now, we're all going to go someplace and have an opportunity to be together and eat together and so forth. Come back tonight. What time did you say?
7 o'clock.
You know, you might not be here tonight. You may die this afternoon. I was in a gospel meeting one time and started having chest pains, wound up in the emergency room that afternoon, didn't preach the rest of the meeting. You don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I'm young. I'm going to live forever. Yeah. I've done lots of funerals of young people. Everybody dies at some point. God's way, His way, is the best and only way to resolve any problem that you have in life today. And the first and primary way that He can help you is for you to become a Christian. Once you obey the gospel, and here are a few notes about that. Once you become a Christian, your life changes. And once you're a child of God and you want to go to heaven, when you hear lessons about digital technology, you're thinking, whoa, do I need that? Yeah, you need that. Why? Because we're 21st century people. If we were in the 1700s, we wouldn't be talking about this. But God's Word is so powerful, so in-depth, and so awesome. It deals with, can deal with, any and all issues and problems that we will ever face in this old world. So there's a great confidence and trust we can have about God and His Word. We'll study it. He will help us. He will guide us. He will direct us in what's right. Even with liberties. Even with freedoms. Not just do this and don't do that. You've listened so patiently. I thank you so very, very much. If there is one here today who needs to obey the gospel, my guess is there's water in that baptistry. If there's not, they can put some in it quick. These rooms, I'm sure there's clothes, male and female. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. Come to Him while He can be found. You need to come now. Maybe you're a child of God and you've not lived like you ought to live. And it may be just private issues between you and God. As a child of God, you can go to God in prayer and you can make things right with God. You can repent. You can confess it to God. Through the blood of Christ, as you're a child of God, you can be forgiven. Maybe it's public. You've brought shame and reproach upon the church, the body of Jesus. You can come before this congregation and the brethren here will pray for you, pray with you, and God will forgive you through the blood of His Son. And if you're doing the best you can, the absolute best you can, and you're keeping on keeping on, then don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let digital technology as a tool become an evil for you. Serving with all of your heart. Keep on keeping on. If we help encourage you anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?